From KPFK Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The Trump administration last Thursday released a plan to open up more than 1 million acres of public and private land to hydraulic fracturing in California. The lands being targeted cover several central California counties, including Eastern Fresno, Western Kern, Kings, Madera, San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, Tulare, and Ventura. California has had a five-year fracking moratorium on federal land after a judge ruled for a pause in operations to better study the health and environmental impacts. As it already stands, however, California's Central Valley has some of the worst air quality in the state, and critics expect an expansion to worsen that situation. The plan is expected to be blocked by lawsuits that environmental groups are already readying. My guest is Nayameen Martinez, director of the Central California Environmental Justice Network. Welcome, Nayameen.
Thank you for the opportunity.
So first, tell us what exactly is the status of fracking in Central California in terms of what is already ongoing or what might be on hold?
Sure. Well, fracking is one of the extreme methods of oil and gas extraction. Right now, as it is, it's only happening mostly in Kern County, which is the southern county of the San Joaquin Valley. Other parts where it's happening across the state is also the Central Coast, but other counties that you mentioned that will be impacted if this expansion goes on are not right now suffering from this oil and gas activity. And that's why us as environmental justice activists who have been working in the ground with communities that are currently being impacted by this activity in Kern County are absolutely doing anything in our power to stop this from expanding to other parts of our state.
So there had been, as I mentioned, this moratorium, or at least for fracking on federal lands, and that is so far still in place?
It's still in place. And as you said, the last week, the Bureau of Land Management released their environmental impact report that would is assessing the impact that this practice would have if it's allowed in those over 1 million acres. But we have various reasons for opposing this measure, because as I said, we have already seen the negative impact in local communities where it's currently happening in Kern County. Not only this practice of fracking has impacts on our air quality, which, as you said, is the worst, not only in California, but over the nation. The American Lung Association recently released their 2019 State of the Art report. And once again, the Bakersfield and Fresno area are the top areas for worse air quality. So expanding fracking to these public lands would only exacerbate this. But that's not only it. Fracking requires large amounts of water that are combined with chemicals that are added to push down this water into the air and frack it, and in order to extract either the oil or the gas. And that is wastewater that then you have the problem of how to dispose of it. It has become a big, important problem, environmental problem in Kern County that has led even to, you know, wrongful practices such as selling this wastewater for irrigation purposes to Kern County and farmers.
Isn't that area where produce that is distributed to the entire country is grown, right? So this is something that can have a national impact. If you have wastewater from fracking, irrigating crops for human consumption in California and outside California, you're potentially spreading these dangerous chemicals around the country.
Yes, and that's why right now there's another area that we have been trying to investigate. What could be the health impacts of using this wastewater to irrigate crops? But even if that was not the case, before this consumption of wastewater was happening for irrigation, as I said, there was a problem where this wastewater, you have to put it somewhere. Sometimes it was being dumped illegally in some, you know, vacant parts of rural areas in Tulare County. Other communities, they would create this pits where they accumulate the water. There have been lawsuits by local growers and local community members in Kern County against this practice because this is also a source of contamination for groundwater.
Right. I understand that these pits are unlined, right?
Yes, unlined pits, absolutely.
So you just dump a bunch of wastewater in a pit. It's obviously going to seep into the ground where it will then
Correct.
Contaminate groundwater. And then spread even further. So we already have a situation in California where fracking has been then deeply problematic in so many different ways, including even air quality, which we were talking about earlier. So the Bureau of Land Management, which released this plan under the Trump administration last Thursday, wants to open up 1 million acres or so of both, I understand, public and private land. How is it justifying this expansion? Is it claiming that there won't be any environmental impacts?
It is claiming that based on data that is not recent. They, for example, in terms of the air quality, they're estimating that there's going to be a minimal impact basically in NOx emissions and some greenhouse gases, but their analysis is based in a number that is completely inaccurate. They're saying that it would only allow for 4 fracking wells in a year, which is not the case. This number is more than 10 years old. This number, it's when they were not even tracking the number of wells where fracking was allowed. So the fact that they are, you know, saying that the air emissions are minimal is because they are not using the most recent data. In Kern County alone, especially in this Kern County, they had the Board of Supervisors recently approved an ordinance that expedites the process that these companies need to go through to get a permit. So that number is not even true for even a month. The number of permits that have been issued in Kern County has tripled in the last 2 years. And so as a matter of fact, based on data of these figures in Kern County, we can know and assure that 4 wells per year is not a realistic number.
So, Naomin, doesn't this fall under states' rights versus federal laws, federal policies? If California were to undertake a statewide moratorium, such as, for example, the state of New York has done, would that block the Trump administration's demand to expand fracking, or would that basically be the beginning of a legal fight?
I think it would be the beginning of a legal fight, as you're absolutely right. I think that California has its own CEQA law that allows our state to take its own measures to make sure that environmental impact assessments are done thoroughly so that they protect our communities, especially fenceland communities, which are those that live nearby these sources of extraction. So we have a way of doing something at the state level. Fortunately, we have in Javier Becerra an ally that could certainly will protect us from any attempt from the federal administration to move forward with this. But at the same time, I think that the fact that 5 years ago local organizations or community organizations such as the Center for Biological Diversity were able to stop and put a moratorium on these practices in a successful way, and that they were backed up by a court, is another avenue that we were hopeful that could protect our public lands.
You mentioned Attorney General Javier Becerra, who has made it very clear that he will oppose attacks by the Trump administration. What about Governor Gavin Newsom? I mean, we know that under the previous administration, Jerry Brown talked about being a climate leader, but then green-lighted fracking operations. Do you have better hopes under Newsom?
I think so. I definitely I'm hopeful because as of now, the new governor has stated that he really is concerned about us meeting our climate change goals. in terms of reducing our greenhouse gas emissions. And definitely we cannot do that if we continue increasing our dependency on fossil fuels or allowing these practices that would still not only, you know, it would make this industry even stronger by expanding the land that is available for them.
So, as far as you know now, the Bureau of Land Management is moving ahead with its plan, but isn't there a public comment period that it needs to undertake? And are you hopeful that at least during that public comment period, you can mobilize enough, particularly directly impacted communities in Central California?
Absolutely. And the Central California Environmental Justice Network is just one of the many organizations across the state that have joined efforts already. And even before the document was released, we have already doing a plan to see how we can mobilize these residents. The Bureau of Land Management scheduled 3 public hearings. The first one on May 21st, that will be taking place in their Bakersfield offices, 2 more in the Central Coast, 1 in San Luis Obispo and 1 in Santa Barbara. And as I said, many organizations are already planning on how to mobilize residents, especially from all these communities that will be impacted, residents from Madera, from Fresno, from Tulare, from even the western part of Fresno, are going to be already going down to Bakersfield to express their opposition. And not only that, we have launched since Earth Day, the many celebrations that happen across our valley, we launched a postcard campaign in which we are asking people to express why they oppose this idea. Our goal is to collect and present more than 1,000 postcards. I know that there's not going to be a way to have 1,000 people there, but we are seeing this an alternative way for residents who want to make their voices count as well.
I understand that in addition to impacting residential areas, that this plan by the Bureau of Land Management to expand fracking in California would also impact nature reserves and state parks and national parks and forests and monuments.
Yes, Sequoia National Park, parts of Yosemite, and other areas that, you know, as it is, they have already been impacted by wildfires recently. So the last thing that we need is to open these areas to all drilling and other forms of extreme extraction. So definitely not only is how it could affect communities, sensitive locations such as schools, residential areas, hospitals, but also those natural areas that are, you know, the few that we have remain that can help us clean our air a little bit.
Are there companies chomping at the bit to see these lands opened up to fracking? What sort of feeding frenzy, if you will, could this plan unleash upon the state of California, you know, over a source of energy that we have to be phasing out if we as a species want to survive?
Well, unfortunately, especially in the Central Valley and in Kern County in particular, the oil industry is very powerful. They have a lot of money to lobby, and they have, you know, demonstrated their willingness to stay around in our state, despite our commitment to, as you were saying, to phase out this our dependency on fossil fuels and find other cleaner sources of energy. I'm not surprised that they're going to be doing anything they can to you know, allow for this to happen. But at the same time, as I said, many organizations working with fence-line communities, with environmental justice communities, are joining efforts with other organizations that oftentimes are not our allies, or more like conservation organizations, the Sierra Club, to mention just one. But definitely, I think that there's a lot of interest from residents to oppose this. And of course, it's going to be like a David versus Goliath fight, because yes, the oil industry has a lot of money and political power.
Do you think that because this plan also includes the potential for fracking on private lands, that that these corporations are hoping to basically lease lands from owners and take advantage of, you know, those people who might feel that they that it would be worth the financial benefit to them. And we've seen that happen in other states around the country.
Yes, that's the risk. And that's why for us, it has also been so important to educate residents of these community members of these areas that are at target, so that they could understand the real effects of these practices, so that, you know, they can not only not be lured by the money, but that they could be knowledgeable of what would be the impacts for their properties and the surrounding communities in terms of, as we were talking before, wastewater emissions such as greenhouse gases, NOx, and others that are going to contribute to our air problems.
Right. I mean, it's not just greenhouse gas emissions. It's also just actual airborne toxic chemicals, right, that impacts people's breathing.
And that is really something that we have seen. Unfortunately, we have been able to document in Kern County. As I said, we have been working in fence line communities for almost 20 years, and in the last 10, we have been able to engage in the what we call citizen science practices. What we have done is collect, grab samples from homes that, of residents who live really 50, 100 feet away from oil wells or storage tanks or flares. And we have been documenting high levels of VOCs, specifically benzene, which, as we know, is a gas that, you know, there's not a safe level for that. It can cause cancer. So there's no way that it could be safe to allow these practices to happen. Nowhere, but specifically near sensitive locations, as I explained before, homes, hospitals, schools.
Right, schools in particular, VOCs, of course, you were mentioning, which are volatile organic compounds. I mean, these are the kinds of chemicals that, you know, we used to have very commonly in paint that have been phased out because they're supposed to be bad for you. And of course, if somehow it's acceptable to have all of this being spewed out in the air that is breathed by all of us. You mentioned schools. I understand that there is an effort to keep fracking operations far away from schools right now in California, and there's an assembly bill to that effect?
My organization actually is one of the, is part of the organization that co-sponsored this bill, AB 345, introduced by Assemblyman Muratsushi. And what it tries to do is to create a setback of 2,500 feet between oil production and sensitive locations like homes, schools, residential areas, hospitals, because, you know, not only in the Central Valley, but in Southern California, elsewhere, we have seen, you know, what can happen or what is already happening when we have that close proximity between oil wells and other kinds of oil and gas extraction and sensitive locations.
And we know that children in particular are quite vulnerable to neurological damage from breathing in the air. And, you know, 2,500 feet, that's less than half a mile. It's not even that much. Currently, how problematic is it? I mean, do you have fracking operations operating right next to schools?
Yes, not only to schools. For instance, in the community of Arvin in Kern County, there's this oil well just across the street from the high school. So whatever the length of, you know, how wide that road is, which is a rural road, I would say 50, 80 feet. That's how close it is to a school. We have other wells in Arvin that are 50 feet away from a playground, 100 feet away from an apartment complex, and even to a clinic, a health clinic.
Wow. So I imagine your biggest challenge in the next few weeks is to mobilize, to educate people about these dangerous impacts of fracking and then mobilize them for this public comment period.
Yes. And unfortunately, you know, we're a small organization. We have the support of many others, but definitely there are two things happening at the same time. So as you were saying, AB 345 is being heard right now. Our next hearing is in the Appropriations Committee. And it's almost happening at the same time as the BLM hearing in May 21st in Bakersfield.
So you're fighting on the state and the federal level simultaneously.
Yes. And the other thing to mention is that normally this type of public comment processes allowed for 90 days for to submit written comments, in addition to being there for the public hearings. For this type time around, the BLM, it's only allowing public comments in 45 days since they released this document last week.
So they've cut the public comment period in half. Incredible.
Last day, if I'm not mistaken, for public comments, it's going to be June 9th.
So give out a website, Naomi, for your organization where people can find out more about the work they do and support it.
Sure. It's www.ccejn.org.
And we will post a link to that from our website later today. I imagine that you're going to be very, very busy. Is this also an organization that accepts donations from communities?
We accept donations and we accept help. We're going to have about information in our landing page, in our main page, on how you can get postcards from us, on how you can. We're also building an electronic, sign-on so that you can actually, if you are somewhere else in the San Joaquin, not in the San Joaquin Valley, that you would like to make your comments about this. We're putting that, building that as we speak. So we welcome all kinds of supports. And I think that, making sure that we voice our concerns with this type of practices, we can join together and protect our public lands.
Thank you again for joining us. We'll post a link to your website from our site as well. Thanks so much, Naomi.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
You too. My guest has been Naomi Martinez, director of the Central California Environmental Justice Network. We've been discussing the federal plan by the Bureau of Land Management to expand fracking operations in California, opening up over 1 million acres of public and private lands. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.